If you have your Bible with you, we'd ask that you turn with us to the fifth chapter of the book of the Roman letter. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to begin with the first verse. This, of course, concerns itself with a letter that Paul wrote in his third missionary journey. He was at Corinth. It was in approximately 56 AD. He was heading back to Jerusalem, but he had a desire to visit Rome. And I think a desire to visit the church at Rome. Now, Paul wound up at Rome. He did, but it was in a different capacity. He was able to stand before one of the emperors of Rome and give his testimony. And you know, that's what our lives consist of today, our testimony that we give, that we live today, you know, is far reaching and has far greater impact than we would realize today. But starting with the first verse of the fifth chapter of the book of the Roman letter, he says these words, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein that we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Just kind of mark that for just a moment. "For when we were without strength," whenever that we were without anything at all, "Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and I. That's the whole world today. "Compared to God's righteousness, we are as an unclean thing in the justice of it and in the sight of God. But God commended..." Let me back up there for just a moment. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners..." And someone will say today, "Well, you know, I wasn't even born at that time. You know, my family wasn't upon the earth. You know, America hadn't been discovered at this point." But you know, David said over in one place, he said, "I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies." We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. And sure, we cannot help that condition that we were born in. But I'm thankful that God has made a way. "He commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, from the foundation of the world, Christ Jesus died from the ungodly." And I'm kind of editorializing that a little bit and putting kind of some of my thought into it. "But he did stand as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world." It wasn't by accident that he died upon the cross and resurrected. This was a divine plan, a divine covenant with God. Even before the time began, do you know that you were on his mind? He thought about you. He thought about me. But more importantly, he thought about you. And he knew that at one time in your life that you would be touched by his Holy Spirit and you would realize your great need of salvation. Now our thought's going to come from actually two verses of Scripture. The first one, "God commendeth his love towards us." God commendeth his love towards us. And also, we can include in that, Christ Jesus commendeth his love towards us. He commendeth. That word commendeth comes from a word that God stepped back and he revealed, he showed unto us the realms of His love and the realms of His grace and of His mercy. God did not owe it to us that He would send His Son into the world. In fact, whenever that Adam sinned and brought death by sin upon the world, God could have said, "That's it. That's it. I'm going to start all over again." But no, this was even in the plan of God. Redemption was in the plan of God. It's a glorious thing. Redemption is a song that you and I will sing that have been saved by the grace of God. We will sing in glory, just like Beulah Land. And we'll sing something that the angels cannot even begin to sing. But God stood back and He showed and He revealed His great love towards us. And you know, God could have stopped the crucifixion. He could have stopped the sacrifice. But He stood back and He stood to the side and He unraveled on Calvary His great love towards us. Whenever we think about the love of God, it is the highest love that there is today. You cannot go higher in searching for love than the love of God. Now, in the Bible, in the original, if you will, they talk about love in different passages and in different ways. You know, there is a love that is called eros. It is the marital love between husband and wife, male and female. And then there's philos. There's the brotherly love. Now, I never had the privilege of having brothers and sisters in my family, so I was kind of on the outside looking in. And I couldn't understand how the brothers and sisters could fight one another and somehow pull me into the middle of the fray. But then they turn around and they love each other. That's a brotherly type of love. It's a love today that is between those that have the same mother and father for the most part. And you'll find today that they even talk about this in the fact that they named a city after it. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. You just thought that it was a city of the Eagles, didn't you? No, it was a city of brotherly love. But then there is the highest love, and this, in a sense, is beyond description. Thanks be unto God, the scripture says, for His indescribable, unspeakable gift that was given unto us in Christ Jesus. It is the highest form of love. And we find that the Bible teaches us about it, that God is love. First verse of scripture that I learned as a child was God is love. And that's sometimes hard to comprehend why we see the things taking place that we do. We see the injustices. We see the crime, the corruption. We see and hear of wars and rumors of wars. And we wonder, why has God not brought the whole thing to an end? Well, it's because of His love. And His will is that none should perish, but that all should repent or come to repentance. Now, the Bible tells us there is a day in the mind of the Father whenever that it will come to an end. And He said that not even the angels in heaven even know that time, that day, that hour, whenever that God will speak to His Son and say, "Go and get My children and let's draw this to a close." But yet, right now, God is love. Now, you can't turn that around and say love is God, because that's what many of the pagans did that Paul preached to. Love was Diana. Have you ever read the book of Ephesus? Paul upset their economy because they made little statues of Diana. She was referred to as the goddess of love. And I won't go into detail as to how their worship was or what went into it. But in that day, in that time, when they referred to love among the Greeks, they referred to Diana, goddess of love. But God is love. God is the highest type of love. And the Bible tells us that even though that we've sinned against Him, that yet He is all supreme and still loving towards us. God's love is with us presently. Do you know that you're being loved by God right now?
Yes.
You are. You might say today, well, I don't feel it. Well, you are. And my friend, when you get in tune with God, I like that song because I like radios. Turn your radio on. Yeah, I like that song. In fact, I'll go and I'll turn my radio on whenever I hear it playing. But you know, whenever you get in touch and get in tune with God, when your radio receiver is on the frequency of God, my friend, you can feel all the attributes of God. You can feel His Holy Spirit. Thanks be unto God that He gives us as saved individuals, as anyone today, that capability of feeling the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit today because we include Him in love, in the fact that, my friend, He comes and He opens our heart and He reveals unto us what we are and that we need the Lord. And He draws us, that is, He compels us to come to a place of repentance where that we can find Jesus precious to our never-dying soul. But my friend, whenever that you get in tune with that, my friend, you can detect that love. And there have been times whenever I've seen people just so overwhelmed with the love of God that they just bowed and wept because of His grace and because of His mercy and because of His undeserved favor given unto them. It's present with us today. God's love is not going to be revealed to us some other time, some better land. My friend, it's with us now. And the fact that we are here is a demonstration of God's eternal love towards us. And I want to say anything of God is eternal, everlasting. And my friend, it cannot and will not be broken. And not even you and I can sever ourselves from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We find that that's present with us. And I'm thankful. Have you ever felt the love of God? We felt the love of one another. You know, this is the most loving, charitable church that I have ever been in today. It is. And I encourage your fellowship and I encourage your love, my friend, towards one another. God's love is good. Why? Because God is good. There is no variableness within Him. He's not bad one day and then He changes. A lot of the gods in that day and in that time had a changeableness about them. You ever read about the gods that they worshipped in India? The God that would be benevolent would all of a sudden change and He would be an evil God. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is good. Why? Because that's His nature. God is good unto us. The Bible tells us over in the Psalms, it says, "The Lord God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth unto all generations." He loved Israel. I want you to know that Israel was and is the apple of God's eye, but it endures unto all generations, even to the extent that it's extended unto us and given unto us. Maybe we're not of the household of Jacob, but I want you to know that God has commended His love towards us, that even we as Gentiles have an opportunity to be saved and to be grafted in to that vine which is Christ Jesus today. And you know, I lay claim to kinship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. And someone will say, "Well, you don't look Jewish." No, that's not it. My friend, they were on the roll call of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. My friend, I want you to know that love that he had for him, he has for us. We are in a sense, not in reality, but in a sense, we are the children of Israel in one sense. The Bible tells us that he's good. My friend, he'll never change. He'll never become something that he is not presently. And I know that that gets to playing with your mind thinking about it. But my friend, who can define God today to the utmost that we can define him completely? Job even said it himself in one place. He said, "In searching, canst thou find out God to the utmost?" He posed that question. And not even his three friends who were so self-righteous could even answer him. No one can define him except to define him by his attributes. Now, I'm not trying to play with terms and this and that and the other, but I want you to know this is the character of God. There is none beside him. There is none even close and equal unto him. My friend, he's also faithful. Lamentations tells us in one place, in the midst of that prophecy by Jeremiah, where that it looked like that everything was going to swoop down upon them from the Babylonians, and the judgment of Judah was going to take place and going to take them into captivity. Yet there is a verse of scripture in there that applies even unto us, where Jeremiah said of God, "Great is thy faithfulness." Has God been unfaithful to you? Has God ever let you down? He might not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. He may not give you everything, and I'm kind of thankful for that. Because there have been some things I've asked for that he's opened my eyes to, and I said, "Oh Lord, I'm glad you didn't answer that prayer." Brings you right up to see what would have happened or what could have happened if you'd received that. That's why God is good. He never withholds anything that is for our benefit or for our good. Now I want you to know that God is love from the standpoint that he knows our every thought. He knows whenever that we're sorrowful. He knows whenever that we've suffered loss. He knows whenever that we're disappointment. He knows whenever that we are discouraged, whenever that we're down. He knows all about that. He knows what it is to be hungry. Jesus, whenever that he was tempted for about 40 days and 40 nights, my friend, at the end of that, he hungered. He felt his stomach growl. Nobody's ever thought about that, but I'll bet his stomach growled. And you know, I bet Satan heard it too. And said, "If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." But I want you to know he knows what it's like to suffer those things in the flesh. He knew what it was to be tired. There are many times after that he preached, after he walked through Jerusalem, after that he healed, that he would go off into a desert place or go off or even on a sea. And I don't know how he did this because I'm not too good on a ship that rocks back and forth, or a plane that suffers turbulence. But he slept down in the bow of a ship on the Sea of Galilee. He was tired. He was exhausted. And he felt that. He knows what it's like to be lonely. He said in one place, he said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, him, has no place to lay his head." He knew what it was like to be lonely. And you might say, "Why are you bringing all these things before us, preacher?" Because I want you to know that not only does he love us, he knows what we go through. Even when we come to him in prayer, he knows our very heart, our thoughts. He knows the problems that are troubling us. And I want you to know that it is he makes it his problem also. Bible says over in the book of Peter, said, cast all your care upon him. You know, and I always was of the opinion that, you know, I'll take care of this natural stuff over here, Lord, and then you take care of the spiritual, but you're not concerned with this over here. I'll take care of it. I want to tell you something. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I cannot take a breath in my body without him controlling the mechanism of breathing. There cannot be a brainwave. There cannot be a heartbeat unless, my friend, that he is holding it together. He is upholding all things, even unto us today, that we experience these same things of breathing, of thinking, our heart beating, all of that. We're experiencing that, and he's upholding each and every one by the word of his power. Or so says the first chapter of the book of the Hebrew letter. Not only is he good, not only is he eternal and everlasting and steadfast and all of these things that we've talked about. And I want to tell you, we could be here from now until midnight talking about his attributes and his love and everything about him towards us. But I want you to know that he loves righteousness and he is just. And my friend, he loves that which is right. Now, he loves righteousness. Boy, we're in a dilemma. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. And he loves righteousness. Where does that put us? My friend, even in spite of our sins, God loves us. And I want you to know he manifested that, as we said, through his son, Jesus. And someone will say, well, you know, you always preach about how that they did all these things and they agreed on these things and agreed that Christ would go to the cross and they would pay the penalty. And you make it sound like, well, it was an obligation. It was a necessity. But what sent Christ to do that was love towards humanity. Knowing he would be crucified, knowing that men would reject him, knowing that men would scoff at him, knowing that there would be Pharisees, Sadducees, and every kind of seas that you can think of that would come and would mock him and challenge him. And in spite of that, he came down, and I've read where the Roman soldiers and officials, if they were ever assigned to go anywhere in the Roman Empire, they begged not to be sent to Judea because it was one of the worst rebellious places on earth. Those Jews were going to determine that they were going to break the power of Rome, and they were willing to die to do it. And so it was a scary thing, and it was a poor area. It was an area that was destitute. It was an area, my friend, that was ruled by Herod. My friends, you think you got, whenever you think you got a bad ruler, you read about Herod. I want to tell you something. He was the lowest of the low. And Archelaus, his son, wasn't much better. You know that Herod killed to get his position? Just like Nero killed his own mother to become emperor. But Jesus came to such a place. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews, such an high priest that Christ was going to be came and became one of us. He was born. He came into this world the same way that you and I come into this world. Only his conception was not man. It was the Holy Spirit that came upon a young virgin, and she became with child, not just any child, but with the very Son of God. And someone will say, do you think he cried when he came into the world? I would say so, feeling in his body as a little when he probably did. I want you to know that wouldn't be the first time that he would cry out. But I want you to know that he loved us, and it was not duty, it was not obligation, it was not his job. My friend, he came because he loved humanity. He loved you. He loved me. And I want to tell you something today. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve such love. But thanks be unto God that God didn't weigh that in scales and say, well, I'll love this one because, you know, they're like this. They're good friends and so on and so forth. And I'll just forget this one. My friend, he was the same to all of them. In fact, he got in trouble for mixing with the heathen, with the pagan, with the Romans. Why? Because he loved them. And he loved their souls. And he knew that those souls were going to spend eternity somewhere in eternity. He had the highest love towards mankind. When I was lost and undone, I did not realize the love of God. How many times he knocked at my heart. How many times that he dawned upon me, made me to realize, I'm not going to make it in this world without you, Lord. And I didn't have anything to bring to him. Thanks be unto three wise men. I guess there might have been three, might have been more. But thanks be unto it that those wise men had gifts to give to him. I didn't have a thing. I just had me. Now I want to tell you, in all honesty, he didn't get very much in the bargain when he got me. But I want to tell you what, that's where his love just transcends all of that. That's where that his love overlooks the sin and he looks down into the soul and he loves the sinner. That's why he went among so many of them. When he saves us, I want you to know it's a glorious thing. We have the love of God dwelling in us. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Well, I don't feel it very often. Well, once again, you're off frequency on your radio. And you got to get back on. And I want you to realize today, my friend, that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Now, who's it shed to? Shed to one another. I want to tell you something. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love towards one another. And I realize I'm preaching to part of the choir and part of the congregation in this. Because, my friend, I see that love. It's demonstrated. It's felt. The fellowship among each and every one of you. My friend, don't let Satan get a wedge in that at any length, at any time. Take it to Jesus. Ask him what to do. But my friend, that fellowship love, you know, I love you all and I don't understand why. Now, I better back up on that. I can't reason it. I can't reason it. Because I'm not related by blood. I'm not a cousin or anything like that. But I want you to know that the same spiritual blood flows through our veins, every one of us. Do you know that? Every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God, that Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, not a different Holy Spirit, is dwelling within us and love is shed abroad. It's shed towards one another. I love this people because you've been redeemed by the grace of God. You've been to the same fount. You've been to the same cross. You've met the same Savior that came forth the third day. My friend, there's no doubt within my mind. And not only that, but we have that love towards the lost and the unsaved. And I don't know how much time that we've got left upon this earth. I know people are calculating and doing this and doing that, trying to figure out whenever that the end time is coming. I believe that we are in the end times. We're closer now than ever before. But my friend, I want you to realize that while we live in these end times, let us take the advice of that scripture. And my friend, allow that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be shed abroad in our hearts towards one another because love is involved in that. I want to make a statement, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I don't know that you could have the Holy Spirit and hate one another. I don't know if it's possible. Haven't figured it out yet. I've reasoned and reasoned and reasoned, because that Holy Spirit is still the same equality as God the Father, who is love. And how can two opposites dwell with one another? They can't. If God would be hate on one hand and then love over here, you can't have contradiction like that in God. But thanks be unto God, He gives us a desire. He gives us a hope. He gives us a desire to want to see the lost saved. I want to see the lost saved, don't you? I would love to see someone just bow and call on God and find Him. Oh, my friend, that's like watching a birth. It is a birth. It's a new birth. My friend, whenever that I watched my boys being born, that was something else. Wasn't so pleasant for my wife. But I want you to know that, boy, I was capped up and I was gowned. And, wow, I was just one of the boys there at the table, you know. And I'll meet you back in the doctor's lounge and we'll just have a good time. One day, boy, my expectations were really shattered. Physician sat down at the end. And I thought, boy, here we go. And I'm part of it. He just sat down, folded his hands like that, just waited. He began singing Christmas songs. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? But you know what he said? I said, Doc, aren't you going to, you know, do something? You know, aren't they, according to the movies, they come quickly? He said, it's between the mother and the child. That's what it depends on. And it depends upon the Holy Spirit and God. Some births are quick. Boy, you just barely get into the room. And then there's some that are prolonged and agonizing. And I've seen people pray, and just within a moment, the twinkle of an eye, they come up, some shouting, some rejoicing, some, my friend, expressing it in song. But they come up, and they've been born again. Not of corruptible seed, Peter says, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then there's some that go and go and go and go. And finally, when they surrender to God, they find that peace that passeth all understanding. And I'm not saying that people have to come a certain way and do a certain thing. Some are born again in pickup trucks. Some are born again in barns. Some have been born again at home, at a stump out in the woods. My friend, I was born again in a store warehouse. I could take you to that place and show you where that it happened. Where that, my friend, I found the great high priest. But the problem, the thing of it is, it's the love of God dwelling within us that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And then it's the love towards God. Do you love God today? I don't know of a child of God that can say, I hate God. You know, I don't like Him. Well, I may not like some of the things that He does, but then whenever my conscience gets back where it needs to be, I see that it was for my good. Amen. That He did what He did. And I love Him. Do you know before that you were born, He loved you? He loved you from past eternity. He loved you before that you were ever brought into this world. He loved you from the cross. I hear that song, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Every one of you were on His mind. And He bore your sins upon Him willingly. And He took the wrath of God. And He took the judgment of God. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Thanks be unto God. Now I want to tell you something. You love God. Do you know that God is your Heavenly Father? And Jesus, in a sense, is your elder brother. He's a high priest. He's a mediator. He's all of those things. And you that have been saved, all of us, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, sometimes I'll forget, and I'll forget to say brother, or I'll forget to say sister, but the feeling is still there. I don't understand. I cannot reason it with the mind, but I'm thankful I can feel it in my heart and in my soul. And I'm thankful today that God loves you even as you don't realize the depth of how much that He loves you. It can't be measured. It can't be quantitized. It can't be qualitated. No way in the world can we describe it to the nth degree. But I'm so glad today for the love of God. Because without that love today, my friend, without that love, we would all be perished and have no hope. So as we close our few remarks today, I hope that you will keep yourself in the love of God, as the Scripture says in one place. Keep yourself in tune with God. If you're here and lost today, I beg you that you seek this God that loves you until you can experience that for yourself and experience that new birth. And I can't tell you how to be saved. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you. But I can point you unto the Lamb of God like John did. Now I can say He takes away the sin of the world. And you're going to have to trust and lean upon Him to the extent that your eternal destiny is based upon Him. I'm going to heaven not because of what I did. I'm going to heaven because of what He did. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. I won't go on and on and on. But I love you. But more importantly, God loves you. God loves you. And if you take nothing else away today, take that with you. That you are loved of God. When you have problems, troubles, whatever the case might be, just remember, God loves me. One more thing. I'll finally close. Someone sent me a picture one time of a little boy, barefooted and in rags. And he's standing in dust. It's obvious he's in poverty. You know, it looks like to the world he's nothing. But there's a caption that says, God made me and God loves me. And God doesn't make junk. Every soul is precious unto God. No matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what evil they may have done, God still loves them. And God, if they're lost, He wants to save them today. So as we stand and as we sing, if there's any here that need to come for prayer, if you're here today and lost and you feel that tug in your heart towards Him, we invite you to come to this altar. We'll pray with you. We can't save you, but we'll pray with you. But it'll be between you and Almighty God.